Today we are going to read from Old Testament, the book 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 36 through 40. I'll read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today, let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. Then Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. The backdrop was during the reign of King Ahab, who married to Zidonian prophet's daughter, Jezebel, the evil, wicked Baal worship Jezebel, who enticed and instigated King Ahab to depart from worshiping Yahweh God, so that she and he could worship her motherland's regional god, Baal and Ashtaroth. She brought 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. So total 850 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth lived in Samaria, supported by King Ahab with his sustenance. The first king in the northern kingdom Israel, Jeroboam, built two altars apart from King Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, because he separated northern 10 tribes from southern kingdom of Judah and built new kingdom. And he was afraid of seeing northern people go to worship Yahweh in Jerusalem. So he devised building two separate altars to Yahweh. The far northern border near Dan, and the far southern border with southern kingdom, Bethel. And he put images calling those Yahweh God, and he appointed each one of the tribes priest, not from tribe of Levi. That's the way Jeroboam led himself and Israelites and generation to come after them, to follow. sins of idolatry to worship Baal and Ashtaroth. So in their eyes, Yahweh became just one of many gods. How degraded their minds in the kingdom of northern Israel. But in northern kingdom, Yahweh raised up faithful servant by name Elijah. And Elijah, his name meant Yahweh is God. So true. So faithfully living according to his name, Elijah fearlessly spoke. The word of God came to him so that he could prophesy against the sinful nation of northern kingdom Israel, and the wicked king and the queen, Ahab and Jezebel. By the word of God, there will be drought until word of God comes again. It lasted for 3.5 years. The end of 3.5 years, the Lord commanded Elijah to go to King Ahab to challenge him and to challenge him and northern kingdom folks, Israelites, to turn their heart back to Yahweh, who is the only true God in whole universe. So today, far northwestern side of northern kingdom, Mount Carmel, Elijah stood as spokesperson of invisible but true God Yahweh, over against false God Baal and his followers. Of course, King Ahab, he took side with Baal and Baal worshippers. But the Israelites, by the grace of God, they were undecided. By their corrupt human nature, they were totally self-centered. They just want to wait and see which God could be more beneficial for them to live. Not total devotion of their life to one true God, the God of their own ancestors, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, as Elijah in his prayer mentioned, the God of Israel. But shamefully, the majority of northern kingdom citizens, they took neutral position, sitting on the fence, and want to see which God is more beneficial of their own interest. But out of infinite mercy and grace, Yahweh, the only true God in the whole universe, Yahweh, God of Israel, condescended himself to accommodate the level of northern kingdom citizens' expectations, answered to Prophet Elijah's earnest prayer. I put the title of today's chosen text, How to Restore the Broken Covenant of Yahweh. How to restore from human point of view, it's impossible task to restore broken covenant of Yahweh, because we are the guilty party to have broken Yahweh's unilateral covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later on through the hands of Moses with Israel. But these kingdom citizens, they voluntarily broke Yahweh's gracious covenant, and they joined themselves to worship false gods, Baal and Ashtaroth, taking side with wicked king Ahab and his wife. But here, after severe punishment from God upon their broken covenant relationship with him, 3.5 years of drought, famine, depressed them so much. Here, Elijah the prophet, by the command of God, appeared before them, challenged them, knowing Yahweh, out of his infinite mercy, decided to make hearts of the terribly unfaithful Israelites turn to Yahweh himself. From fallen human side, nobody can make himself stand up, return to Yahweh, to repair broken relationship. That's impossible, because spiritually dead person cannot make himself resurrect from death and to make himself come to God, unless Yahweh took initiative and quicken his dead spirit come alive. That's exactly Yahweh already manifested same spiritual principle when he visited fallen creatures, corrupt humans, Adam and his wife. They could not take initiative to come to Yahweh, asking his mercy upon their willing, wicked sins. No, spiritually they are dead. They are full of fear, full of shame, full of corruption in their nature. They couldn't do anything, nothing they could do, unless God, Yahweh, came to visit them, awaken their guilty conscience, make them with God-given faith confess in repentance their terrible sins. Here, Elijah, knowing Yahweh's gracious initiative, challenged prophets of Baal, "Let us have contest between your Baal and my God, Yahweh, who is true God for Israel." And false prophets, they took up the challenge from Elijah. They built the altar, they killed the bull, and they prayed from morning sacrifice hour to noon. Nothing happened. No fire from heaven. No fire from their false god Baal. Elijah mocked them. "Cry out loud. Maybe your god Baal could own picnic all business trip, all dozing. So shout loud to him to wake him up. Nothing happened. Now today's text, verse 36, goes like this. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that's around 3 p.m., Baal's prophet, they wasted all the opportunity for 6 hours from 9 a.m. through 3 p.m. Nothing happened. So far, Baal was not true God. That does not mean Yahweh is true God yet in the minds of Baal's prophets, King Ahab, and the fence-sitting Israelites. So Elijah the prophet came near to the altar and said, what kind of altar? The natural, unhewn stone erected from that mountain top and put all those solid firewood and kill the oxen as burnt offering. Burnt offering means showing true commitment, gratitude, and total devotion. So, burnt offering animal cannot be divided between the offerer and priest and the rest of the portion. The fat should be burned to God. No, the burnt offering animal as a whole should be burnt to signify the offerers offer themselves to God as a whole being, as a token of total devotion and wholehearted gratitude. So burnt offering is not commanded by God for sin offering or guilty offering, but it was commanded by God to show the offerers wholehearted gratitude. That is what Christians' life supposed to be. Wholehearted, wholesome devotion to Yahweh through Jesus Christ redemption. So our life is total life of service out of grateful heart. Nothing is reserved for ourselves. Everything now belongs to God. We are just managers of our lifetime. All we have are from God and must be devoted to Him in return. That's the true meaning of a burnt offering. Elijah, out of firm faith in Yahweh, he put burnt offering sacrifice. Out of gratitude, as if Yahweh already heard his prayer, even before he started prayers, yet in his heart, already he knew Yahweh heard his prayer. So he showed that heartfelt, wholesome gratitude to Yahweh to show Yahweh himself as true God in all universe over against all false gods, including Baal, with whom now Yahweh can't he sent himself to compete for the true God in Israel. Wow. Let's listen to his prayer. O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel. And I am your servant. I have done all these things that terrible, severe punishment pronouncing person I am. But I did that, all these things at your command, at your word, because you are true God. Yahweh, you are true God in Israel. Answer me, Yahweh. Answer me there, this fence-sitting Israelites may know that you, Yahweh, are true God, that you have turned their heart back again. Very short, concise, brief, and meaty prayer. Nothing repetitive, unnecessary, we find. Full of confidence in Yahweh. Sure enough, verse 38, fire of Yahweh fell from where? From heaven. Consumed. Let's see. What the fire of Yahweh consumed? First, burnt offering. So Yahweh accepted Elijah's wholehearted offering of gratitude. His whole life, including his soul, Elijah offered up to God out of gratitude, grateful heart, because he tasted so much of Yahweh's mercy. In spite of Israel's total apostasy. Second, the wood totally consumed. Third, the stones built as altar. That's temporary altar because true altar Yahweh resides is in Jerusalem in southern kingdom of Judah. Finally, the dust under the stone on mountaintop of Carmel, all are consumed. Then, more than 60 gallons of water filled up the roundabout trench, soaked all stone, wood, and the sacrificed oxen. Everything was soaked. Even the water must be not fresh water because there was no fresh water left. Must be the Mediterranean Great Sea salty water. But even that, the fire of Yahweh licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Without Yahweh's grace, none of us can turn from his own, her own corruption and apostasy, return to God in repentance. That's impossible. Only Yahweh's initiative of grace, mercy, can restore fallen, corrupt, apostated covenant people and make them turn around in humble repentance to worship true God, Yahweh. No wonder. We are all covenant brokers. Yet, Yahweh's mercy with unknown, for unknown reason to us, out of his infinite mercy, came down and made us humble, made us change our mind and turn around to confess our sins and worship him again. It is their faith in future coming Messiah's redemptive sacrifice. Messiah took upon himself all the covenantal severe judgment upon covenant breakers, including Israelites, including us. But Messiah took upon his body and soul all those condemnatory covenant severe punishment, so that whoever calls God in Messiah's sake may be forgiven, saved, and became children of Heavenly Father Yahweh. Today, Elijah clearly taught us to whom we should give all glory and honor for our salvation and repentance. Even our repentance is the result of Yahweh's grace, mercy, to awaken, quicken our dead soul, to be alive, to repent in Jesus' name to Yahweh. And Elijah said to the penitential, turn around people, seize the prophets of Baal. They are types of, the prophets of Baal are types of Satan's and agents. Do not let one of them escape. That is type of coming, final judgment by Messiah Jesus Christ, when he comes with glory of his Father's angels to become judge. Until he comes, still God gives us time to repent. God gives us time to seek his mercy. Not being lazy, not being licentious, not taking abuse, advantage of God's leniency. Out of his long suffering, God asks us always live in his presence and doing no compromise with Satan's agent. By the word of God, we must conquer, destroy their ramparts, their strongholds, by our good deeds and confidence in living true God Yahweh. Then we are true foot soldiers of Jesus' army. All we wait for Jesus' return, so that as Israelites, by the command of Prophet Elijah, seize the agents of Satan, Baal's prophet, we must seize Satan's agent, our enemies, by faith. This month of October, we celebrate God's grace to raise up faithful first reformers, including Martin Luther and John Calvin and others, to make people of God turn from their idolatry to true God through Jesus Christ. We must be brave, faithful foot soldiers in God's army. With Elijah, we must say, let us seize our enemies and kill them with the sword of the word of God, so that we may never swerve to the right, to the left, or turn back from following footsteps of our captain of soul, Jesus Christ. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, though there was no water running, slew them there. That's a type of future final judgment of Jesus Christ on that day. Until then, let us move on with our full confidence to be true disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, who is our only captain. Amen.